Well, we have one sobering announcement to begin with. The word has reached us and been confirmed that Brother Bruno Hack did suffer a slight stroke, and there is minimal incapacity on the right side. The requested that there be no phone calls and no visits, but they would greatly, greatly appreciate cards. Cards would be much appreciated by the family and by Brother Bruno. Brother Edgar Buckley is no stranger to Chicago conventions. We've enjoyed him in the past. We've enjoyed the enthusiasm that he always brings with his messages. It seems like we just got to this convention, though, and Brother Edgar is going to talk about going home. His topic is going home. Brother Edgar.
Thank you, Carl. Very happy to be with you. Bring the Christian love and greetings of the dear ones from the Jackson class and from Shalott. Friends in Shalott are getting smaller, less. My beloved sister Lee died last April. My beloved mother died 28th of December. I want to thank all of you who have sent cards and letters and have held up the hand. I appreciate it very much. It makes so much difference. It helps to hold up under such trying circumstances as these. My beloved mother was with me for 61 years. She brought me into the world. She means a great deal to me. I lived with her until I became of age where I could leave home. But even when I left, where mother was, it was still home. I married. I have four children. But nevertheless, where my mother lived still is home. Now she's gone. The place is not the same. It is no longer what I would call home, although I have my own home with my family and my children, who are also going their separate ways. But I have another home that I'm going toward. It is the home that I like to believe that my mother has reached, that my sister Leontine has reached. I am, by his grace, going home. We who follow the Master, each one of us, are going home. In the process of going home, there are many things that happen unto us that are those things which hurt, things which pain, things which bring sorrow, same things which bring grief. We've all experienced to one degree or another. We all have our ways of handling it. Perhaps sometimes it's a little difficult to handle. But by the Lord's grace, we do handle them. Each loved one we know is a page in the book of life as far as we're concerned. And when that beloved passes on, then the page is torn out, and the book's a little smaller. But we have memories that we can remember and draw upon. And this is something that I, by the Lord's grace, can do as far as my beloved mother is concerned. I can remember the things that she taught me, what she did for me, how much she loved me, how much she meant to me. These are things I will always have with me. Now, I loved my mother, and I'm sure that each and every one of you loved your mother. Some have lost theirs, some have not. And when it happens, That's it. What do you do? You have your grief. You have your tears. You let it out. The time that my mother died was 3:30 in the morning. They called us. She was up at the medical center. She called me, the nurse, and let me know. My sister Erna and Wally, my brother-in-law, my boy Edgar, his wife, and my daughter Evelyn went up there. We walked in the body of our beloved, read the 23rd Psalm and had a prayer, holding hands. Had the grief out right there so that thus we could carry on and we could rejoice with her. And this we are doing. And we thank the Lord for her and know that she is home, and we rejoice with her in that. So thus it is, we can smile. Yes, we can laugh. We can rejoice. We can give thanks. For we have known her and loved her, and we like to believe that she may indeed be with us now. When we consider going home, we'd like to turn to the 12th chapter of Hebrews. The Apostle Paul begins by saying, "Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses." We know he's talking about the 11th chapter of all the heroes of faith, pointing them out one by one and what they did. And therefore, to look and behold them in each instant, what they suffered, how they acted, what their efforts were in doing the things God asked of them. It's a great cloud of witness. But what about the cloud of witness that we have before us? What about the dear ones who have made a consecration, and in having made that consecration, have gone forth to do the best they could to follow in the Lord's footsteps? Those who we know who try to emulate the Lord, those who are trying to do the very best they can in serving the Master, they demonstrate to us what is it like to follow in Jesus' footsteps. We need someone to do that. We need someone here now. Someone who we can observe and who we can learn from. As the Apostle Paul said, "Be ye followers of me, even as I am a follower of Christ." So also we go a step further. And we find one here and one there who, especially to us, emulate the Master. This was the way it was as far as my beloved mother was concerned. She was a precious soul. She was a lovely soul. She came in a very small package, but she was precious. She was always giving. She's always doing. She was always seeking to speak of the Lord. She was ill most of her life. There were times when she couldn't even get out of the house for a year, more or less. But as she grew older, she grew better. She grew stronger. She grew in the Lord. And she could go forth and do the thing she couldn't do before. In her later years, in the 70s and her 80s, she could go with me across country to New Haven or wherever. She was always with me. She was an inspiration unto me. She was one who demonstrated what one who follows the Master is like. So thus as we read, "Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses," that if we realize and understand and know it, we have those around us who can fulfill this for us. It's an interesting thing. I had a children's study in Grand Rapids, or young adults, and one of the questions that I asked was, who among you today best demonstrates to you one who follows the Master? One who I asked was Sarah Osterman. Her answer was Paul Lagneau. Well, now this is quite a thing. Obviously, Paul has done the things that one would do to follow the Master for another to note those works. Another one I asked was Rachel Grice. Her answer was Linda Larson. Again, we have a beloved who works with the young adults and who has a compassion for them, a feeling, and a desire to help them. And in so doing, the young can see. Here is another who is seeking to follow the Master and emulating him. Wherefore, being encompassed about by so great a cloud of witnesses, we have some among us. Let us realize that, and let us understand, let us see if we cannot, by the Lord's grace, follow them even as they follow Christ. The apostle continues by saying, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us. This is something we must do day by day. And let us run with patience the race that is set before us. Now the sin that so easily besets us may be one thing in one of us, another thing in another of us. But yet it is something that is a hindrance of going home. For in order to go home, we have to develop a Christ-like character. And we have sins that easily beset us. It is that which we have to lay aside. And sometimes we find it very difficult. With some of it's a lack of patience. With other of us, it is a matter of just procrastination, just putting off. Is that a sin or is it not a sin? Putting off or procrastinating can come to a point where it can harm others. It can be detrimental to another. If we could only realize, this is something I have a problem with. But it is one of the things, it is my besetting sin, which injures me in running in the race. To set it aside and to run with patience the race that is set before me, before us. This is that which I must needs do, if indeed I am going home. He continues by saying, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. He is the one, he is our best example, he whom we would imitate. Considering him who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. We look at Christ's life for 3.5 years, once he had made his consecration, and we know what he went through. We have a very good idea from the Scriptures. We realize that he was perfect, and therefore, being perfect, he suffered much because of that perfection, much of it in observing those around him and the suffering and the sorrow that was there. We find the same with us as we're going home. We look around us and many are suffering in many ways. And as a result, we hurt because of that. And especially if it's our own loved ones. It's all a part of that which must needs be. And we recognize it. And therefore it makes a difference. If we're going to continue in our journey, following after the Master, going home, we come to realize that we feel when others feel, we hurt when others hurt. So we look to Jesus and recall what He went through. It helps us to realize our journey is not as difficult as His is. For consider Him that endured such contradiction of sinners against Himself. To think about that, and to think how far Christ went, that He suffered unto death, yea, even the death of the cross, and consider the cross and what He suffered there. Now, if we know anything at all about pain and suffering, and consider one who is nailed to a cross, and consider the position that He was put in, and the fact just the breathing or the moving brought that much more pain. And to realize He did that for us, it helps us in our efforts to consider Him who endured such contradiction of sinners against Himself. And then recall for the joy that was set before Him that He did it. He said, think of these things, lest ye be wearied and faint in your minds. That it comes to a point, it looks like we can't make it any further. That the time has come when we're about to give up. Just think about that. And we often do. He finishes the fourth verse by saying, ye have not yet resisted unto blood, striving against sin. Haven't gone that far yet. You haven't reached that point where you have died striving against sin. I cannot judge my mother. I can only know what I have observed of her. She is dead. She tried the best she could to strive against sin. The Lord makes the decision. It's not mine to make. But sooner or later, we'll come to the point where we will be faced with death. That time is coming. We know not when. She knew not when. My sister knew not when. But it is coming. Whether we know it or whether we do not. We, by His grace, desire to be with Him. But we must die like men in whatever way He wishes. We have not yet resisted against sin, or resisted unto blood, striving against sin. We haven't done that yet. But we're trying to do the best we can. I recall in Jeremiah something that I'd like to bring before your minds at this time. Jeremiah was one of the great cloud of witnesses that Paul is talking about here. Jeremiah was a man of God who sought to do the very best he can or could in doing God's will. He was to preach the word regardless. He was to let it be known of Israel what God would have them to do and what would happen if they didn't. And as a result, there were those who were not happy about the entire matter. So we recall in the first part of the book of Jeremiah, there were the prophets of Anatoth, who were prophets who said whatever it was that they felt was a thing to say and that which would do them the most good. Whereas Jeremiah sought to speak as God would have him to speak. Therefore, the prophets of Anathoth sought to kill Jeremiah. They sought his light. And Jeremiah, speaking to God about it, wanted to know, what could he do? Now God had already told him, he said, I will take care of the prophets of Anatot. But Jeremiah was very worried because he was threatened with his life. So we turn to Jeremiah, the 12th chapter. We'd like to read this 5th verse. God asks him a question. It's rather strange that he should ask a question like this, because the man is about to be faced with death. These prophets are out to kill him. And when he comes to God and he asks help of God, this is God's answer. If thou hast run with a footman, and they have wearied thee, then how canst thou contend with the horses? If in the land of peace wherein thou trusted, they weary thee, then how wilt thou do in the swelling of Jordan? Well, if we look at this question and we analyze it, and we find that as far as the footmen are concerned, footmen can run all day, and that indeed if Jeremiah is to keep up with them, then he got about all he can handle, and it would weary him indeed. And if we would consider that this would be a matter of trials that one would be faced with, that are almost a matter of day-by-day trials, something that wearies us. But then he said, how can you contend with the horses, who are much faster than men, and can travel 20, 25 miles an hour for a long, long time? And obviously, Jeremiah couldn't keep up with them at all. We would liken that unto a severe trial, a difficult trial, which one may not even be able to live through, except for the grace of God. But then he asks, in the land of plenty, if this matter wearies you, in the land of peace, what will you do in the swelling of Jordan? And as we look into the matter, and we find that at the swelling of Jordan, what happened during the harvest, that the lions who dwelt along the Jordan and the thickets thereof are forced out and forced up into high ground. And anyone is fair game if those lions are hungry. And the question, how wilt thou do in the swelling of the Jordan if this should happen? If indeed you should be overtaken and eaten by a lion. We liken this unto a fiery trial, unto a life-threatening trial, unto being faced with death. Sooner or later, we will come to that. Sooner or later, there will be the question, what will you do in the swelling of the Jordan? Well, we're going home. And the time will come when the Lord will say, it is enough. Death will be imminent. How will we do? Only the Lord knows. We have no idea as to how it shall be. In my mother's case, it was peaceful. In my sister's case, it was very difficult. In the case of our Lord, we know what it was. Not knowing, it is a matter of faith as to whether or not that we can handle it. And we sure we can in the Lord, but that's the only way it is possible. If you turn with me to the 2 Corinthians, the 4th chapter, we'd like to begin with the 5th verse. The Apostle Paul says, "For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord." It is so with us by His grace. It is the only thing we know. Preach Christ in Him crucified. We have what we feel is the truth. We study it daily, again, by His grace. We not only study it, but we try to live it. And as we live it, we preach it, by word, by example. When the time comes when the Lord says it is in us, we trust. We have continued in that effort unto death. That is our desire. The apostle continues, "And ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. We serve one another for Christ's sake. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, has shined in our hearts." Each one of us, by His grace, are shining lights because of that reason. Because His light has shined in our hearts. And it is that that we have that can shine forth, and that is we are able to preach. He has shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. The light of the knowledge of the glory of God. Now when Moses came down out of the mountain, his face shone, because he'd been with God. Does our faces shine at all? We're going home. Are we going home with a face that shines? Are we going home with a heart that has the light of the glory of God reflected in it? Those are the questions that we have to ask ourselves. He says, "But we have this treasure in earthen vessels." The old body, the old creature, that which would do the things which we would not do, but we find that we wind up doing anyway, as the apostle tells us in Romans, the 7th chapter, for 15 to 20. So we have it in earthen vessels. And those earthen vessels become cracked, and soon they just break. Again, when the Lord says it is enough. But as long as we have that, in the earthen vessels, the excellency of the power is of God and not of ourselves. And to be able to realize that, that is what we desire. So as we continue our journey home, it says we're troubled on every side. Sometimes that which was in, sometimes that which is without. Sometimes in just in a matter of our efforts to do what we feel to be the right thing. What we desire is the Lord's will. And we try to determine it and do it. And sometimes we're troubled in wondering if we actually have done the right thing or not. We're troubled on every side, yet not distressed. Because the Lord knows and sees our effort. And having seen our efforts, He rewards us accordingly. We are perplexed, but not in despair. We often wonder whether or not we are or are not following after Christ as we ought to. We're perplexed in many ways, but still not distressed. Persecuted, but not forsaken. I know not how many of us could say that we've been persecuted. I know not to what extent. I have to confess that I haven't truly been persecuted. A persecution is something that goes further than a word or a deed. It is something that happens continually It is something whereby someone doesn't like us. And because they do not like us, they're going to let it be known they do not like us. And usually it is because we seek to follow Christ. This is part of going home. And to one extent or another, if indeed we are doing any kind of a job at all in following after Christ, then somewhere along the line there will be someone who won't be too happy about the whole matter and will let us know. I think we can all testify to that to one extent or another. But whatever and however it is, by His grace, we carry on. Regardless, that persecution may get worse. We have no idea. But indeed, we like to feel that regardless, we realize we're not forsaken. We may be cast down, but not destroyed. Some of us may be men or women of many moods. It's not always easy to go on an even keel. It's not always easy to smile and to be lighthearted, happy-go-lucky. Sometimes we get serious. And when we do, we must remember we're still the Lord's. And therefore, because we are bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus. For a reason, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our body. So that our efforts are to do the best we can in living the Christ-like life. And thus to be able to control our emotions, our feelings, in the times when things are a little difficult and we are cast down, that we still are the Lord's, and therefore in bearing about the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, it is Christ's like life. For we which live are always delivered unto death for Jesus' sake. The word death pops up many times. There are a lot of people who don't like to talk about death. Death is something you just do not talk about. We had a booth in the Jackson Fair here some years ago. And there were a couple who came up. And one of them wanted to look at the booklets. And the other one, she wanted to go. Let's go. And the one woman, she said to the other, "You're going to have to find out about death sometime." The other woman said, "Yes, but not now." Now, this is what it amounts to. When you talk about death, that's something that we would prefer not to talk about unless it comes to a matter where a loved one died, and thus you have to do it. Otherwise, you just do not. But we talk about death because through death, there'll be life. We're going home, and the only way we're going to get there is to die. The Apostle Paul puts it before us very plainly. "For we which live are always delivered unto death." Why? "For Jesus' sake, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our mortal flesh." The question put before us, to what extent is the life of Jesus put forth in our mortal flesh? How much are we indeed emulating the Master? This is something we must ask ourselves. So then death works in us. The old man must die. And he dies very, very grudgingly, exceedingly so. For every moment that we want to serve the Master, the old man seeks to prevent it. Death is working in us. Going down to the 16th verse, 4th chapter of 2 Corinthians. For which cause we faint not. In the 40th chapter of Isaiah, in the 31st verse, we're told that we'd mount up as eagles and run and not be weary and walk and not faint. Sometimes we almost do faint. Sometimes it gets to a point when we feel that we have. But not so. Not so. For as long as we live in the Master, we will not faint. When one faints, it's almost as though they die. Because the blood all leaves the brain. And as far as the body is concerned and the man, he doesn't know anything. It's just as though he's dead. It's a fainting. So it is that we can run and not be weary and walk and not faint. But though our outward man perish, and this is what we desire, that the outward man perish. There's a battle going on within us. One or the other is going to win out. Either the old man or the new. It is up to us that the new creature wins out if indeed we're going home. For we're not going home if the new creature does not emerge triumphant. Yet the inward man is renewed day by day. At this convention is a little bit of the renewing. We're renewed simply by seeing one another. That renews us just in that alone. Just to see your smiling faces. But we don't see each other every day. So we can be renewed. We renewed yesterday. Be renewed today. And we'll be together tomorrow. So renewing continues. But what about Monday? Will the renewing continue then? Well, if we're going home, it must needs be. We must be renewed day by day. There's a beloved sister in Lansing at a rest home who is 98 years old. March 17, 1988, she'll be 99. And you ought to hear some of the prayers that she gives. And one of the things that she says is that we may be renewed day by day. She had the truth over 60 years. It's always been the same prayer that it was then. Over 60 years. Think about it. I'm 61 years old. She was in the truth before I was born. Imagine it. That we may be renewed day by day. And I stand here before you at that age of 61. Some who tell me that a talk that I said that I had given 25 years ago. Said we weren't even born yet. Nevertheless, whether it be Dora, some 60 years of truth, or I and my 36 years, or one of you beloved who haven't been in the truth a year, it's still a matter of being renewed day by day. This is the inward man. There are many things that renew us. There are many things that keep us going. There are many things that help us in our efforts to continually be mindful and continue to go forth to be and to do. Part of it is each one of us and our messages to one another. Of those things that we do for one another. I don't know how many of you sent cards and letters to me and to my sister, to my mother when Leontine died. But believe me, brethren, that helped us to be renewed day by day. You get a card, you get 3 cards today, 4 tomorrow, and another next week you're getting more and more cards. And every one of those to help in the renewing day by day. But the renewing also in the matter of those things that are difficult and those things which we find that is almost impossible sometimes to overcome. Still in being able to do that, making the effort, is a renewing day by day. He continues, for our light affliction, which is but for a moment. The apostle asked the question, I believe it was Apostle John. He said, what is your life? He said, it is but a vapor that appears but for a moment and passes away. You're here now, you'll be there later, and so on. And where you are, it just disappears. You're not there anymore, and you're someplace else. And this is what our life is. It appears for a moment. And there comes a time after whatever it may be, in the case of Dora, 98 years, it's almost as a vapor that appears for a moment. Because there comes that point in time when the Lord will say it is enough. And a decision will be rendered. And we must bear this in mind on our journey home. Just exactly how we act and what the Lord's decision is in our case. So whatever we go through, whatever the difficulties, whatever the things may be, problems of one kind or another, and the apostle puts it very, very plainly, our light afflictions, which is but for a moment, works for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. There's a reason for these things. And whatever they may be that we're afflicted with, whether it be physically or mentally, it's but for a moment. It works out in us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. Having brought this forth to us, the Apostle Paul proceeds to go further in this matter of going home, saying, for we know that if our earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved, we have a building of God, and house not made with hands, eternal in the heaven. We know it's going to happen. We already pointed out, if our earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved. Well, it isn't dissolved yet. In my mother's case, it is. In my sister's case, it is. We're pilgrims and strangers in the land. And as the apostle puts it, a tabernacle. That which does not remain in the same place. It's a tent, if you will. But if it should be dissolved, then we have a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. A building of God. Well, we have that. If we're found faithful, if we make our calling and election sure. It all stems on that. That's the whole thing. But we're going home. Well, we are going home if we are carrying out our vows. That which we promised to do. We are going home, and there is a building of God waiting for us. A house not made with hands, but only if we carry out our covenant of sacrifice. He said, for in this we groan, earnestly desiring to be clothed upon with our house which is from heaven. A desire indeed, be home with the Lord. That's our earnest desire. But sometimes we wonder how earnest it is. We live on earth. We rub elbows with they who are earthly dwellers, as we are. And sometimes we're overcome. Sometimes we're overcome with the cares of this life. Sometimes we're overcome with the pleasures of this life. Sometimes it's a matter of that which is before us that we can see. Bearing that in mind, going back to the 18th verse in the 4th chapter of 2 Corinthians, while we look not at the things which are seen, that is our key. Not that which we see, but that which we do not see. It is that which we see that can stumble us. Our desire is that all that the Lord has given us, that we use it to His glory and His benefit and not abuse it. We have to make that decision. No one will make it for us. We have to come to a point where we must realize that all we say, all we do, and how we act, every second and every minute and every hour of every day has a bearing on that. Sometimes we tend to forget. I know I find it very easy at times so to do. But if we can remember, by the Lord's grace, where we're going, it makes all the difference in the world. Ask the question, where are you going? Well, sometimes, I don't know. We know. And that is a journey we pursue. If so be that being clothed, we shall not be found naked, that is, in death. That it may not be the second death, that we want it not to be so, that we pursue the matter to a point where we indeed will not find ourselves in second death. And we won't as long as we think about it. It is a matter of realizing what the truth means and carrying on in that vein rather than to be turned aside from any reason, whatever it may be. For we that are in this tabernacle do groan, being burdened, not for that we would be unclothed, but clothed upon, that mortality might be swallowed up of life. That's our desire, that mortality might be swallowed up of life. That's going home. Now he that hath wrought us for the selfsame thing is God. It's His purpose, according to His purpose, who also hath given unto us the earnest of the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, for the purpose of being able to go home. It is that the Spirit of God that actuates us so to do. Therefore we are always confident, knowing that whilst we are at home in the body, we are absent from the Lord. For we walk by faith, not by sight. It's not something we can see, looking at the things not seen. We cannot see it with the literal eyes. We are confident, I say, and willing rather to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord. Ah, 'twould be the most precious of all. Continues, wherefore we labor that whether present or absent, whichever it may be, we may be accepted of Him. Whether it be that we are absent from the Lord or at a time when we can be present with Him, see Him as He is. If we get to that point, which I feel that my mother and my sister have, but as I say, I cannot judge the matter, but if it be so, we might be able to speak as one has put it in a poem. This is from a loved one in heaven. I would not have you grieve for me today, nor weep beside my vacant chair. Could you but know of my daily portion here, you would not, could not wish me there. I know now why he said, ear hath not heard. I have no words, no alphabet, or even if I had, I dare not tell, because you could not bear it yet. So, only this, I am the same, though changed like him, a joy more rich and strong than I had dreamed that any heart could hold. And all my life is one glad song. Sometimes, when you are talking to our Lord, he turns and speaks to me. Dear heart, in that rare moment, you and I are just the distance of a word apart. And so, my loved ones, do not grieve for me around the family hearth today. Instead, rejoice, for we are one in him. For we are one in him. And so I am not far away. And lo, indeed, those who have left, the Lord has called home, they are not far away. For we, dear brethren, are going home.
The topic is very tender to each of us at all times, but especially when we hear it from one like Brother Edgar, who's so recently gone through the sorrows in his family.
Our dearly beloved Heavenly Father, hallowed be thy holy name. We bow before thee in thanksgiving and rejoicing that we by thy grace may follow the Master, may seek indeed our heavenly home. For we desire to be with him and like him, to be able to help in blessing all the family of the earth. This is our desire. And we are journeying home by thy grace. We ask thou would be with us and help us in our efforts to go and be do as we ought. We ask thou would be with all thy dear ones in every place and certainly continue to be with us throughout this convention. As we further wait before thee, we give our thanks, rejoicing continually in Christ our Lord. Amen.